We're in Isaiah 30 as we continue our journey through Isaiah. Almost a year now we've been in Isaiah. It's been a blessed book. And we've learned so much in this book, and we will continue to learn. And of course, the primary theme is God calling out to His people, Israel, asking them to come home to Him. And in the midst of that, promising them what He will give them in the future. All the blessings of the kingdom and their restoration and so forth. Here in chapter 30, we see another example of why God had to continually rebuke His people. And this was their attitude about God and His word. Notice in verse 8, the Bible says, "Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out on a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a sherd to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit." So I've entitled the message, "Speak Smooth Things." Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our lives this evening. Thank you for it. May we take it to heart. May we, Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to our lives and have a right attitude about hearing from you tonight. We give you this service. Pray you'll be glorified in it and guide us. We ask in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. This was about 700 B.C., and God said, write it before them in a table and write it in a book. Note it in a book. Well, here we are 2,700 years later reading it. It's still there. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This will be written down for eternity because it's God's word. And so it is forever and ever, this warning, this rebuke. And notice what the rebuke is, verse 9. This is a rebellious people. Lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. So it comes down to the word. They will not hear the law of the Lord, he said in verse 12, because ye despise the word. They did not want to hear God's word. You know, Jesus rebuked Israel when he came to earth for killing the prophets. Why did they kill the prophets? Because they didn't want to hear God's word. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. And things haven't changed much. 2,500 years later, man still doesn't want to hear the word of the Lord. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's look at a couple of scriptures together and just see this common theme in scripture about this attitude toward the word. Let's start in Proverbs 28. In verse 9, where God makes it so clear that if our attitude toward His Word is not what it should be, then our Christian life is not what it should be. And in this particular case, Proverbs 28:9, God is referring to prayer. But I want you to see the connection between effective prayer and attitude toward the Word. Notice He says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination." Now, we don't want our prayers to be abomination, but God doesn't want us to turn our ear away from hearing the word either. Because the word is everything for us. That's our food. That's what guides us. That's how we learned about Jesus. And if we have this attitude that Israel had about not wanting to hear the word of the Lord, then it will affect our prayer life. Let's look at another example in Jeremiah chapter 8, if you would. Jeremiah 8, 9. Jeremiah chapter 8, notice verse 9. "The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. So not only will it affect our prayer life, but we won't have the wisdom we need to do the right things and go the right way. Did you notice who are ashamed and dismayed and taken? In verse 9 it says, the wise men. But why? Because they reject the word of the Lord. And then Jesus in John chapter 12, if you turn there, gave a similar rebuke, not just to Israel, but to all of us, about our attitude toward receiving the words of the Lord. John chapter 12, notice verse 48. Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Israel's problem was they did not want to hear the law. And today, it's still the same problem. The world doesn't want to hear the word of God because it convicts them of their sin. It shows them their need for a Savior. It shows them their wickedness. Why did they nail Jesus to a cross? Well, primarily because when he came, he preached repentance. They wanted a Messiah, they wanted a king, but they did not want a Savior because they didn't believe they needed saved from anything. They thought they were fine. And that's the problem. Man is still the same today. God wants us, as we're told in James 1:21, to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive it with meekness. Have this attitude that I need the word. And therefore I'm going to constantly be feeding on the word, as we should be as Christians. So notice back in our passage, Isaiah 30, it says in verse 10, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. This has been a problem with man from the beginning. And you know what's sad is there's so many preachers today willing to accommodate this attitude. And it's actually quite scary when you think about it. Don't prophesy unto us right things. Prophesy unto us smooth things. Things that are easy to swallow. Things that are easy to take. Things that make me feel good. Not right things. And you know, this has been around. If you go to 1 Kings, which is a long time ago, 1 Kings chapter 22, about 3,000 years ago, I'll show you an example of someone, a man named Micaiah. And you don't hear much about him, but I love Micaiah because he was the one prophet of the day that was willing to tell the truth amidst all these other prophets that would just tell the king what he wanted to hear. And the king would surround himself by these prophets so that he always felt, this was Jehoshaphat, he would always surround himself and he would always say, what's God's will? Should we go fight this battle? And all these prophets would line up and say, God says go because you're going to win. And it made him feel good. Notice 1 Kings 22:8. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. For he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Sounds like a little child, doesn't he? I hate him because every time I ask him what God's will is, he doesn't tell me what I want to hear. He tells me something evil about myself. Well, maybe the problem is you. But this is the same attitude that man has today. Look at another example in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5. Where, again, Jeremiah is rebuking, this time, the prophets for accommodating Israel. Now, these obviously were false prophets, because if somebody doesn't share the true word of God, then they're not a prophet of God, they're a false prophet. And notice Jeremiah 5:31, Jeremiah, a prophet, is saying, the prophets prophesy falsely. And the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. So it's bad enough that the prophets prophesy falsely, but the worst thing is it says, my people love to have it so. My people want it this way. They want the prophets to prophesy falsely. Just like we're reading here in Isaiah. The people were saying to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Things that we want to hear. Things that make us feel good. Well, here we are, 2.5 millennium later, and we still have the same problem. And let's go to 2 Timothy and see this. And this problem, I'm not talking now about the world. I'm talking about the churches. Man is still selfish. Man is still self-centered. And man would still rather hear something that is smooth rather than something that's right that might hurt. Now you think about it. We go to church because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We go to fellowship, we go to admonish one another. But we go primarily because the Word of God has the power to change us, and we go to get changed by the power of God's Word. But that change process sometimes includes pain. It's not necessarily smooth. Sometimes it hurts. And if you look back over your Christian life, you know there's been times you went to church and you walked out and you didn't want to say, thanks, I really enjoyed that message, because you definitely didn't enjoy that message. Because it hurt. Matter of fact, the message, you'd rather just have not have heard it, but you know you needed it. And God doesn't command the preachers in his Word to preach what people want. He commands them to preach what people need. There's a big difference. But what the people want is smooth things. Notice 2 Timothy 4. For the time, verse 3. For the time will come. Well, folks, we're in that time. We saw this morning in our prophecy class. When they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's so many Christian seminars out there now. Everybody wants a teacher. They want to go to a seminar on this and a seminar on that. But they don't want Bible preaching. They don't want sound doctrine. Because sound doctrine hurts sometimes. And some people consider it boring. It's not entertainment. But what has the power to change our lives? The Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It can pierce the dividing of soul and spirit. It can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. What else can do that? Nothing here on earth. But the Word. Now let's look at 1 Timothy, back one book, chapter 4 again. Verse 1 this time. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So this problem we're reading about with Israel in Isaiah 30 from 2,500 years ago, it's the same problem today with man. Obviously the world doesn't want to hear the Word of God, but so many people who profess to be Christians would rather hear smooth things. And they flock to these entertainment, excitement, emotionalism services. And somebody gets up and speaks things that are smooth and makes them feel really good. And they walk out feeling really good. And they say, I worship God today because I feel good. Folks, feeling good isn't the measure of whether or not God was worshipped. And feeling good isn't the measure as to whether or not the Holy Spirit changed you. Sometimes it doesn't feel good. Sometimes you leave uncomfortable. Sometimes you leave broken by the Holy Spirit of God, because that's what we need sometimes. But that's not what people want. In general, I'm speaking. They want smooth, as it says here in Isaiah 30, verse 10. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Isn't it interesting that they're actually using words like deceits? They actually said, prophesy not unto us right things. We actually know deep in our hearts that what we're asking you to do is to not tell us the truth. Isn't that something? These are God's chosen people saying to God's prophets, don't tell us the truth. Tell us what we want to hear. But yet, Christians do that every Sunday. They go to churches that don't tell them the truth, that tell them what they want to hear and make them feel good. And yet, they're not grounded in the Word. They're baby Christians. Cults come along and knock on their door. And the number one recruiting ground for the cults is not atheists. It's professing Christians that are not grounded in the Word. You ask, well, you typically won't tell you, but you know, if you ask a typical, let's say, Jehovah's Witness or Mormon, how did they get to where they are now? They'll tell you most times that they used to be a Christian. All different flavors, of course. And somebody came along and said, look, I know the Bible. Look, I have a family that lives right. Isn't that attractive? I'm not going to tell you everything that we believe because it might scare you at first, but I'm going to tell you enough to make you feel good. And what happens? They hear smooth things, not right things, smooth things. Before they know it, they're sucked in and they're part of it. So notice verse 11 of our passage. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. These are God's people speaking to God's prophets saying, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. We don't want holiness. Holiness takes work. Holiness is painful. We don't want the Holy... It's the same thing when Moses came down off the mountain with the law. The people said, we don't want to hear from God. We'll just rather hear from you. It's too scary to hear directly from God. So you just tell us what God said. And man hasn't changed. One of the biggest denominations in the world is a church that says, we will tell you what to believe. We will tell you how to get to heaven. Don't read your Bible. Don't study God's Word. We'll just tell you the rules. We'll lay it all out for you. Just follow these rules and we'll get you to heaven. And you know the group I'm talking about. But people want to be led, don't they? It's much easier to say, well, you just tell me what to do and you get me to heaven and that way I don't have to work. I don't have to study. I don't have to figure it out on my own. You just tell me. And my parents baptized me into this group when I was just a baby anyway, so that's what I am. So I'm just going to trust the church to get me to heaven. No, God says only Jesus can get us to heaven, not the church. But it feels better to hear smooth things. Notice verse 12. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because, right, there's the key word, because ye despise the word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. God is warning them even now. He's saying, you're about to face some more intense chastisement. And it all comes down to having a wrong attitude toward God's Word. Now, there are many out there, I believe, who are probably not Christians. But there are also many who are Christians, but they don't know any better because they never hear the Word. They're never taught. They don't know the Bible. They just know a couple of key canned phrases somebody's taught them along the way. And you know what happens? Trials come. They're not ready because they're not grounded in their faith. They don't understand how to handle trials with the Lord's help. And what do? Fall away. They've been hearing all these smooth things that make them feel good. But smooth things don't ground you. Smooth things don't grow you. And what happens is the Christian life isn't what it needs to be. And as God said to Israel here, there's a breach coming. There's some chastisement coming. Because you need to get right with me. You need to get right with your attitude about my word. And all of us do. Our attitude toward the Word of God needs to be, this is the most important book in the universe. And I need to make it a vital part of my Christian walk. I need to be studying it. I need to be reading it, I need to be memorizing it, I need to be meditating in it, and I need to be doing it constantly because I need it. You know, as we saw in Peter just last Wednesday night, desire the Word, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. This has the power to do that for us. So let's never allow the devil to trick us into this wrong attitude. Speak unto us smooth things. Sometimes the truth isn't smooth. When God works surgery on us, there's some pain involved. But it's what we need, and it's what's best. So let's not allow this attitude, and let's be careful with those that we rub shoulders with out there to just share the truth with them. Now, sometimes we're almost too careful when we're talking to unsaved people. We don't want to offend them with the fact that hell is real and that they're going to go there if they don't get saved. Instead, we just kind of sometimes just give them platitudes like, oh, Jesus loves you and Jesus wants you to be one of his children. Well, Jesus loves you enough that he died for you on the cross because you deserve to go to hell. And he paid the price of your sin. That's why he went to the cross. So we got to be careful not to make it too smooth. I'm not saying we should intentionally offend people, but people need the truth. Now, Jesus just told the truth. And how often did people get offended with the truth? Jesus wasn't just speaking the truth. Jesus is the truth. I mean, even in John 6, his own disciples, many of them walked away when he gave his discourse on the bread of life. It says many of his disciples no longer walked with him, and he turned to the 12 and he said, will you also go away? Isn't it interesting? He didn't say, please stay, guys. He said, you guys want to walk away too? Think about that. And they said, well, who are we going to go to? You have the words of life. So Jesus never, ever tried to speak smooth things. I mean, especially when it came to the Pharisees. You guys are whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. You're a generation of vipers. Your father is the devil. That's the thing he told the Pharisees. He definitely wasn't trying to win a popularity contest, but people needed to hear the truth. And people out there need to hear the truth. And we need to be constantly desiring the truth, not asking for smooth things. So thank the Lord for this reminder. Let's pray.